luck, you may have heard and understand that the 1619 Project, a work of fiction, by the way, that those on the left are trying to pass off as some sort of intellectual study and some sort of review of American history and so forth. It's garbage. I've read parts of it. It's absolute garbage. That tries to change history into some time in 1619 when slaves were dropped off in the New World. It had nothing to do with America. That wasn't created until 1776. Larry Arnn, the president of Hillsdale College, wrote a powerful piece about this that I read just the other day. And now from Hillsdale, we have Matt Spaulding, Dr. Matt Spaulding, vice president and dean of Hillsdale, to talk about this 1776 project and what it really means. Doctor, good to have you back.
Good to be with you, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to being in Orlando with some sunshine and some sunny people for CPAC, which we'll do tomorrow. And one of the things I think we'll talk about in CPAC and elsewhere is the 1776 Project. Obviously, Hillsdale had a role in this. Tell us about the project, what it is for anyone who might not know.
Well, so the president last Constitution Day announced and then soon thereafter created a commission called the 1776 Commission. I took a leave of absence from Hillsdale to be the executive director of it. You mentioned Dr. Arnn was the chairman of the commission. Carol Swain was the vice chair. A number of other people, we created this commission. The commission, over the course of about 5-6 weeks, produced a report called the 1776 Report. It was released on Martin Luther King Day. It essentially argues, as per the president's executive order, asked for a report advising the president on the core principles of America, why 1776 was important, and what implications this might have and how we might think about teaching and education.
Sure. Now, not surprisingly,
it came out on Martin Luther King Day, and it was then abolished. The commission was abolished on Inauguration Day, one of President Biden's first executive orders.
Yeah, not surprisingly, I was going to say Joe Biden and his team got rid of it the same day they were sworn in, got rid of it altogether. Tell me about the conclusions. That's more important. They can run from the truth, they can try to hide from the truth, but the fact is, the truth continues to get out, whether it's me doing it or you doing it, Dr. Spaulding, however we get there. And thank you for taking the leave of absence. Thank you for Dr. Arnn being involved and all of the people at Hillsdale that made this possible and all the others around the country. What are some of the conclusions you found in the 1776 report?
Well, I think there are really two main things that it emphasized, both of which I think had something to do with why it couldn't be tolerated by modern liberalism. One is it made an argument which was completely unobjectionable, meaning unobjectionable until some number of years ago, which is that the country originated in 1776. This was a significant period because it announced a set of principles, most famously stated in the Declaration of Independence, which then shaped the Constitution. And those principles were about human equality, grounded in the laws of nature, nature's God, giving rise to consent to the rule of law. Nothing controversial there, at least I thought, nothing controversial. But the other thing we did was we called for a history which was honest and forthright, that recognized warts and all, told the history the way it actually happened. But despite that history, despite the great flaws in American history, the weaknesses, the mistakes in American history, this was still a great nation because what shone through in that history were those principles. And thus the way to understand America was to look at its history, praise its history, but also criticize its history.
Sure.
But look at it in light of the earlier thing, the principles of the Declaration. And we made the point that that's how the founders looked at it. That's how Lincoln looked at it. That's how Martin Luther King looked at it. When you look back at the Declaration, it's a great promissory note. That was the early civil rights movement.
That's right.
That last piece, combined with our view of history, those two things were unacceptable to modern liberalism. And that's why I think ultimately the commission had to be abolished. We not only claimed history looking back to its principles, the principles of the Declaration, human equality, which was unacceptable because that was not to say that America was completely evil and wrong. And we made that claim of history and the claim of those principles in light of people like Lincoln and the founders, but also Martin Luther King and Frederick Douglass and other great leaders of the civil rights movement. And they couldn't abide by that, given where they wanted to go from a policy point of view.
Right. They want to teach that America is evil and everybody's a victim and the oppressed are being oppressed by white men primarily and others of greed and capitalism and, you know, the free market's evil and free men are evil and all of this. But one of the things that I read from Dr. Arn in the piece that I read here a couple of days ago was about the Northwest Ordinance, which said that the five new states coming into the Union had to be free states, could not be slave states. And so by that point in American history forward, they had issued the death sentence for slavery. Yes, slavery was here. We inherited that practice from the British and the Spanish and the Portuguese and all those that came before us, right? But within 80 years, slavery came to an end in America with a great struggle and a great civil war. That's what should be taught. And today, however, they want to teach that, you know, it's never really ended. They want to teach that somehow reparations are in order for anybody who is, you know, of color. And I asked the question. I had a family member die at Gettysburg from Michigan's 5th. Michigan's 5th that went to Gettysburg, a relative of mine, distant, died there. So should we pass out checks to people that fought and died for the Civil War? I mean, the strangeness of thought, what are we, 10 generations later now or 12, whatever it's been a long time. How do we move forward? Because this is not, what the Democrats and the left are putting forward is not healing this nation, Doctor. It's tearing us apart, yes or no?
No, it's definitely tearing us apart. Not only that, it's not good history. And I think you've kind of struck on why, from the point of view of the 1619 Project, this was a direct hit, if you will. We really struck a nerve, which was, you mentioned the Northwest Ordinance, but you can look at the clauses of the Constitution, which were compromises, but in light of the principles of the Declaration, which is, say, from the very beginning, the principles of the Declaration really laid the seed, if you will, the beginnings of abolition. The abolition movement began in America because of the principles of the Declaration of Independence. And so the difference here is between looking at history as it actually happened, but looking back to the principles and seeing history play out those principles, which leads to abolition and the extinction of slavery through the Civil War. They don't want to see any of that history. They want to look at history and use it as an objective and ideological purpose to drive a wedge in American history and the American population as a result. They want to use history for some other reason. What we want is good, real history, which is a principled history. It has things that were there, especially like slavery, but it also leads to abolition. And the problem is that history today has become overtly politicized. So I think two things we need. One is we need good, honest, straight history.
Yes.
A place like Hillsdale is trying to, as are others. But we just need good history so that people realize what that history is. They can then decide about that. We think it's still a great and noble story.
Yes.
But also, keep in mind what they're doing is they want to use that history as a backdrop for driving a hard left objective on the federal government and how we do things.
And turn us into something we were never intended. Turn us into something we were never intended. Dr. Spaulding, I have to leave it right there, but we were never intended to be a socialist nation in any stretch of the imagination. We are individuals. We are Americans born with God-given freedom. Dr. Spaulding, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
There you have it, the 1776 Project. Just a glimpse. You should go and read it. Steve Gerber.
When today is unpredictable, you need sound advice and strong support to help you stay focused on your long-term financial goals for tomorrow. Ameriprise has been guiding clients through challenging times for over 125 years. You can take comfort in working with an advisor who's backed by that strong experience and who's there to guide you with personalized, goal-based financial advice. Together, you and your Ameriprise advisor can plan your future while navigating your now. Call me, Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles, today at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.